Okay. Coming down to financial report, Shauna. Do you have anything?
No, I can't.
Okay, I'm kind of operating account and budget. We have some paperwork sitting out in front of us that Barbara has been kind enough to get to us. Barbara, do you want to?
Yeah, I'll get into that. A couple of things here. First of all, if you'll all pick up the one that says balance sheet, capital improvement account. We all got that in front of us. Look at that. It says as of March 24th, 2006, we do all plans change that to December 31st, 2005. I do not receive the statements for this account. Shauna, do you get those statements? Do you know where they go? What's the address on that account? You don't know?
I've never received anything from that account ever.
I haven't either. I got the very first statement that we got in October, right after you opened it. That's the last statement I got. I didn't even get any year-end information.
It should have Deer Springs Ranch address, same address as the other one.
Do you get them, Dale?
It wouldn't go to Dale. It would go to Deer Springs Ranch, the same.
You thought it would go to the P.O. box.
It should go to the same address that they already had on it.
See, and I thought maybe they're not sending monthly, maybe they're only sending quarterly, so I should have received one in January. I did not.
I'll check on that.
And because I'm not a signer on it, they won't give me the information. Because I already asked them.
I will.
So I don't have any idea how much interest we've made since December 31st, and the way we found out on December 31st was under the table made in order to do the taxes, because we had to find out how much interest we made on that account in order to file taxes on it. But that's all you can see there, and I didn't know exactly. Basically, in that checking account in the state bank, Southern Utah State Bank, capital improvement account has $9,648.34 as of December 31st. The water system we took for $15,000. That's the total of the amount that was deposited into the account, which is $24,648. And then the earnings at the end of the year were $55,27. There you go. That's information on that account. Any other questions? Any other comments on that?
Well, a comment is if you could check into that and email both Barbara and myself as to what's happening,
mm-hmm.
and if there's something that we can do to make a correction on that, because they should have notified us or something. We're not receiving it, and it's not returned mail.
You would think so, yeah. I will check.
Mm-hmm. They know where to find us. We talk to us all the time.
Yeah.
Barbara, I have one question on this statement. This is a balance sheet, but, and I guess the question I have is, should there be a separate balance sheet for capital improvement account, or should it be just a separate P&L, essentially?
Well, and we discussed that last month.
Well, we discussed a separate report.
That's true. Well, I guess I assume P&L on this situation, there is nothing.
Right, yeah.
All that's still there is
at this point, but there will be other income during the year. And
well,
there will be
and I could give you a P&L if we had something to report, but there's nothing.
I mean, this is fine because it tells us what happened as of last year, but we're not talking about keeping that the assets of the capital improvement account will now be segregated from the rest of the ranch, right? That's
the way I set it up, because that's what Niall told me to do.
Okay.
You can't count it twice.
We'll just have to. We'll have to have a consolidated report at some point there. Okay.
Yeah, I just gave them both and you can get the taxes out of it.
All right. Thank you.
I have a question. Shauna's been asked to go to the bank and find out about
it's number three on here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's bringing that up. She's
and
that.
She's going to report to you. Can she report to the board? If it's going to email, just email everybody what transpires.
Yes, I will.
Very good.
On email.
Okay, and then the next thing that you want to look at maybe is that it says it's horizontal. It's profit and loss budget versus actual. And this is for 2006, to date. Yesterday's date. You look on the one column, you can see that's how much we had in the budget that it was established back in November and December, and then on the January-December column is how much has been collected or expended in those accounts to date. And as you can go down through there, you can see that we've collected approximately $79,000 worth of assessments thus far. The rent income is substantially more than what we had budgeted.
What, where's the income on the buildings come from?
Okay. That's why there's another paper here. Maybe we should look at it first. It's a profit and loss previous year comparison. And I just printed this out for the heck of it. What I did, Dale, is I thought this was interesting. This is January 1st to March 24th of 05 and of 06 comparison columns. And this shows you how much assessments were paid to date last year and how much rental income was, arrived last year, et cetera, et cetera. How much reservation fees we got last year versus what we got this year and stuff. The rent income is, for instance, we have that BYU bug group, I call them, that's coming. Okay, they have paid 50%.
Bug?
Bug study. They're doing the bug study. They did it last year on the monument, and they're doing it again this year. It's 50. They pay 50% up front. And then the remaining 50 is due 60 days before they arrive. Okay, so they pay 50%. We have a couple of family reunions that members have. In fact, Larry Bear's family is one of them. They have used his weeks and in addition have rented a cabin for $95 a night for a few additional nights, an additional cabin. Okay, several members have done that. The Turleys and several others have done that, and that income is on there. So that's where a lot of this income is coming. We also have that scout group that I was telling you guys about, that's paid some their deposits. There will be more coming in, and when you get to your, you'll see when we get to the outstanding dues, that there's a rental income statement there, and it has money that's owed. Well, that's because their deposits come in. The second half of their money is not due yet, see? Okay, so that's what you're seeing there. When you go down further in there, you can see that the reservation fees to date are considerably higher than they were last year. Tractor work income is higher, but I attribute that to the fact that this has been a lot opener winter. You know, we couldn't do things last year in the winter time. It was way too wet, but this year we have been able to do a lot more things on there.
The question, the livestock grazing, last year we didn't have any money.
Okay,
because of the timing of when we got
paid. That's exactly right. We had Grant Robinson paid us after the 1st of January for two reasons. First of all, we didn't take our cattle and he didn't take his cattle in until the 1st of January, but the main reason we didn't want to pay taxes on that, having done the sale of the lot, I asked him to deter paying us after the first of the year. That's why that income right there is technically income from 2005, okay, but it's showing up in 2006, and we should have, again, this fall, another additional grazing income that he pays us within 2006, okay? So your whole budget and everything is so just a few dollars. Okay, there's another one if you want to look down here. If you go clear to the bottom down there under grazing fees, it's under
Livestock,
wildlife, and agriculture.
Yeah, grazing fee expense. You're going to see a big $554 expense right there. This one is the biggest kicked off little thing I happened to me lately. I got a bill. First of all, in January, I called BLM, and I said, we haven't got our bill for grazing fees. Did it get turned, when the post office thing got screwed up? I thought maybe it got backup. We should have got it like December anyway, or November. We didn't. And so I called them in the end of January, and I said, we haven't got our bill. And she goes, oh, we're working on that. We'll get it to you. Well, at the end of February, I got three bills. One bill one day, one bill the next day, and one bill the next day after that. And I'm looking at them things, and each one of them is different, and they're each continuing more money. And I said, what on earth is this? And so I called this client, and I said, what's going on? And they said, oh, well, this bill, this dollar figure is for 2004, and this bill is what we thought you would owe in 2005, but then we reevaluated it, and this bill is what you really owe for 2005. And I said, what? She goes, well, if you'll notice, you didn't get billed in 2005 for 2004, or you didn't get billed in 2004 for your... I said, that's because you didn't allow us to run any cows. That was a drought year, We didn't run cows. I assumed we didn't have to pay a grazing fee because, remember, that was the year we didn't put cows out. But with very few, Brent didn't put on an ounce. Well, we only charged 50% of what you normally do. Make a long story short, it's just we are paying for 2 years' worth of grazing fees. In 2006, we paid 2004 and 2005 grazing fees. So there again, we're already over budgeted, and we haven't even paid this year's grazing fees yet. However, it's offset by the income that came in for the grazing anyway. But I'm just saying, so you guys understand how these reports can get so messed up and so little things can make look like you're really in bad shape and you're really not in bad shape. But you know what I'm saying? Just so everybody understands what's going on. It's just it's a frustrating little, when you're dealing with this $20 here and $100 there, it's hard to...
That's the normal the way they do it. You charge 50% even if you're not using the grazing.
Oh, yeah. I guess that is. Yeah. I called Graham Robinson. He says, oh, that's all right. Okay, so anyway, it's been really frustrating. And you know, then they tried to charge me a late fee because I questioned it. And I said, there is absolutely no way on earth I'm going to pay, you know, the $25 late fee. Because I said, you guys are 2 years late paying us. You really screwed my budget up.
So we've already done some veterinary work?
No, horseshoes.
With the shoes?
All horses have to have their shoes trimmed and pulled, their shoes pulled and their feet trimmed. They're barefoot right now. They don't need shoes this time of year. Any other questions on this? I think as you look down through the business world, the contract services was, I want you guys to know what that is. That is $700 that we paid to Grant Robinson. He did not do anything. We paid him for the gravel that Dave Cadell bought and hired a man to haul out of there. Dave reimbursed us that $700, but that $700 is just paying Brent for the stockpile that he had there in the yard out of our gravel pit. He streams that gravel, and the ranch doesn't receive a penny for it from Brent, not a penny, and he sells it. And he made $700 on how many loads? Dump truck loads. He charges $10 a yard, Larry. $10 a yard. $70, I guess it would have been 10 ton drops because it's $70 a ton.
He pays the BLM the world.
He doesn't. He doesn't pay him a penny. And he's been asked to pay him a penny several times, and every time he doesn't pay him a penny.
So I'm not sure. You're saying then that he scooped gravel and made a pile there that is for us? No.
He just screened some gravel. When he was crushing for the road, he took the big stuff and he screened it out. And he made a big pile for leach rock or whatever. Dave Cadell wanted a bunch of that rock.
I paid for a bunch of that rock.
Okay, so Dave Cadell hired Nolan Button to come up there and haul the gravel. He asked Brent for months and months and months. Brent never would do it. So he hired Nolan Button to come up there and haul that gravel over to his house. And then Brent said to me, you guys owe me $700 for the gravel, the rock that he hauled over to his place. So I had Dave, you know, told Dave about it. Dave sent a check to me, and I, in turn, sent it on to Brent.
That doesn't sound ethically correct.
Part of our agreement with
Brent? We don't have an agreement.
That when he screened, he could keep the big stuff?
We don't have an agreement.
We're
just waiting
to
have
it done.
Okay.
Is this
fee for screening?
Is that right? Is that his charge for making it?
Well, he charges us on the screening that he hauls onto our roads. You know, I mean, when he screens the gravel and he hauls that gravel onto our roads, he charges
the
screening
thing,
plus he charges the hauling fee, you know, which seems more reasonable to me.
If he were to charge us a reduced rate, you know, if he's making money on this byproduct and this byproduct and gives us a cut rate on the stuff that we use, then I think it would be more fair.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
But if we're being charged the going rate for this, then he should have to pay us the going
That's
rate.
That's exactly right. He should be having to pay us something.
although we don't own the gravel.
Yeah, and the thing is that when I went into the BLM and I got the free use permit for the roads, for the gravel, you know, and I had to work, you know, with Dylan, I worked on that project. We got that through. The condition was that we could use that gravel pit, the ranch could use that gravel pit for free
on
our roads, but anybody that went to private property was supposed to pay the 50 cents yard to the BLM. And so I went to Brent Robinson and I told him that, and I said, and right now they know that quite a bit of that property, that road gravel has gone to McElroy's and Larry Murphy and that, and they're expecting you to come in and pay this bill. He never has paid that bill. Never has.
I thought you told us that he had gone down and paid last year.
No.
I think Brent Fulmer went in and paid some.
Brent Fulmer did, but not Brent Robinson. Brent Robinson's never paid a penny. All the gravel that he sold the Dan Wirt to everybody, he's never paid the BLM a penny. And so if we get our gravel pit shut off, shut down, it's going to be his fault. The members are going to pay for it because, you know, he's violated our
agreement. They'll be out. They came out, I know, the initial time and maybe one time since.
They came out last fall.
Survey or, you know.
They've done aerial fall. Oh, yeah, they've been definitely looking at it. They watched it really close.
But, like, okay, when I bought stuff from him and I paid him, but I had to pay the toll rates to haul it because I could never get him to haul it. I can tell how much I...
He should be paying some of it to the BLM, but he's not.
Okay. To protect our right to use that gravel pit, we should pay as and deduct it from whatever we owe him.
But we're not, like, Brent's the one, or like Phil said, he's the one that paid Brent, not us. See, on the gravel that we pay for him, we don't owe it.
But are we going to be
but we're going to lose the right to our gravel there. Yeah. If we
but see, the thing is how do we keep track of how much he sold to these private individuals? You know, how much is he taking up to done septic system here and septic system there? You know, we don't know.
How does the animal?
They estimate by what's hit there and
how much volume's gone out of the hill.
So they should in turn send him a bill, right?
Him or us. They send it to us.
They don't know what's gone on to private and what's gone onto the ranch.
Mm-hmm. Well, so there's a stockpile there now, is there not? There's an ongoing stockpile to protect the ranch. That stockpile should not get below a certain amount before we stop it and say, before this can go out, the royalties have to be paid.
Maybe that's an idea. We have nothing in writing. We have no plan. We
should have something in writing here. Send a letter of right in a written form to Brent with a copy of those.
I can tell you, I've talked to him numerous times, and his attitude is, I don't owe a penny for none of that stuff. This doesn't belong to the DLM. It belongs to the ranch, and I'm using it.
Well, still to cover us, we need to write a letter to him and have a copy of it go to the DLM. Saying that this...
Or as Larry said here, it's just like property tax. The county can force you to pay. I mean, in a sense, we would be forcing him to pay by whatever we supposedly owe him. Like, and yet we did the cattle thing, and then we got a bill from him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we always end up on the short end of the stick. I don't know if he can even hold money out. That's the way things are going here.
What he would just do is just up the price a little bit or add in a couple more loans.
I wouldn't say anything, but he's got an attitude that he can do whatever he wants to do up there.
If
anything and everything.
If this letter we're talking about it goes out in a copy to DLM, it could include a payment, whether it's from Robinson or from DSR, and some guesstimation, and say this is from this time all the way back. This is all we figure that we owe, and if you accept and cash this check, you're in agreement with this, so that would cover us, at least in the past.
And then try to collect money from him in a future date.
Yep.
Do you know when Brent's grazing lease ends?
3 years.
Three
more seasons. But we can break that if we want.
That can end any time.
We have to give him notice, but we can break it.
I don't know. Maybe Brent should basically say, "Hey, Brent, you follow the rules of the pit, or else we're going to have to move out."
I've already had this discussion with him numerous times.
Well, maybe something has to be done for the board instead of.
I think the board should back up your statement and make a believer out of Brent.
You guys realize that he's no longer a member of our ranch.
Did he sell both lots?
And he also has our squeeze chute over at his place.
You've had that for many, many years.
Used for quite a few years, and now it's in great need of repair, and he charged us more than he ever has charged us to brand and get the cattle at the end of the year.
We're still over the barrel, because we haven't got no place ourselves to do it.
I don't know. Do you guys know what happened on that? Did I ever tell you?
Probably ought to explain that for me.
Okay. What happened was, in the past, when the Bexeds were up there, the corrals were in such a poor shape. They had that squeeze chute, but they didn't have the corrals to hold the cattle. So they and Brent didn't have a squeeze chute. So they took our expensive squeeze chute and took it down to Brent.
Tell them how expensive a squeeze chute.
Well, I don't know how expensive it was originally. I don't know. Was it a brand new one or was it?
No, it wasn't new.
I think it was. I'm sure it was a used one. But I don't know.
But still used this $3,000.
But anyway, but he took it down to his place, and the agreement was that verbally that I heard between Vance and between Brent Robinson and everybody was that Brent would, use our squeeze chute down at his place in exchange for taking care of our five little head of cow that we got, you know, and that he would take them down there and he would, you know, vaccinate them and do his preg check and everything like that. That was the agreement that I had, and he's been doing that fine. Every year, you know, he's been taking our cows down with his cows, and he's been preg checking our cows, and he's been branding and you know, castrating or whatever our calves, and, you know, doing the whole thing with all of our animals. And that worked out fine. Well,
yeah,
this year
we haven't castrated, so.
This year, he came up with his truck, And he and I and a couple other people load these cows in our cows and our calves.
Which are 17, 18, 15, how many?
Well,
our herd's grown a little, and maybe one issue is he's getting a little jealous of
them. Well, that's exactly what it is. Because anyway, he hauled them down to his place, and when we got down there, we were working our cows and his cows, and I was helping him and stuff, and we were shooting, you know, back to him and licing them and stuff. And all of a sudden, he says, you know, Barbie, says, I can't take these guys to the auction tomorrow because I'm missing 30 head of my cows. And we figured out where his cows were. They were put off down below his south of his ranch. And so we said, well, I'm not going to take them out to the ranch to the auction tomorrow, but I'll keep your four head that are going to go to the auction here, and I'll take care of them, and I'll feed them, and I'll haul them with mine when I go next week. Well, the next week ended up being between Christmas and New Year's, and the auction was closed. And so he ended up going the first week of January, and he fed our four bulls for 2 weeks. And I said, Brent, I need to get you some hay. I need to, you know, reimburse you for that hay, you know. And he goes, no. I said, that's fine. That's okay, you know, whatever. And so I didn't worry about it too much. And then when we finally got a bill from him, a check from him for the grazing rights from him, supposedly how much he owes us is $10 per pair per month. That's the agreement, $10 per pair per month on the ranch. And he bought them out on July 1st, and he took some of them out on October. No, he didn't take any of them out. Some of them went home in October. But the last of them I finally chased out of the ranch in the middle of December. And when he sends us a check for the grazing fee, it says right on there, from July 1st to October 31st, and it was for 75 head. And I said, Taylor, dang it all. He told us he brought up 80 head, and Taylor and I went out and counted one day, and we counted up almost close to 90. So we knew that he was short and some, you know, but we thought, oh, the heck with it, you know, because he does it every year. And I just thought, oh, well, that's all right. That's in exchange for us doing it. That wasn't the end of the story. He's only paying us for 75 head. I know for sure there was more than that. And the thing was, then he deducted feed for four cows, hauling them to the auction, $100 each.
$100 for all of them.
No. Oh, was it $100 for all? Okay, then it was peck checking cows. There was a fee for that. There was a fee for warming, delicing, and salting the animals. He's claiming that he salted them all summer long, and we hauled out a lot of blocks of salt, so I don't know where he got that from. Anyway, he deducted it all out and ended up taking off. I wish I had the number in front of me.
That's the first year he charges for a bull, too.
And he's, oh, yeah, bull fee, breeding fee. Which
he's entitled to if he wanted. He charges for the breeding fee.
Anyway, make a long story short, he deducted around $800 from his check and sent us the check for the grazing fee. Does that make sense?
Sounds like he's wearing out his welcome.
But I think so, because the ranch herd is building up.
It's like Phil said, he's getting a little bit sour grapes about it, the fact that we, because he was very adamant at me, you know, what are you going to do with these 10 calves? You know, you want me to take all 10 to the auction? And I says, no, we want to keep the heifers, you know, and we're just going to send out the bulls. And he goes, oh. And I says, you know, Brent, we talked about this before. I said, when we get around 20 head, that'll probably be about, you know, 20, 25 head. That's the max the ranch wants us to have. You know, we just figured that's all we want to winter. And you know, and stuff, and okay. But I don't think he is okay.
Well, I believe that there were some other letters that we were going to have sent out last July. I remember at the board meeting, the discussion was the problem with his cattle in places where they didn't belong, and I understood that at that time there was supposed to have been a letter sent to him concerning that.
Because of the gate being opened by their
gate.
They'll go from the gate and then their cows, you know, that middle gate below the pond.
Yeah, he keeps open gates up and that.
Well, they've gotten really lax the last few years, and they never come up and herd them out anymore. They just open up gates occasionally here and there and just let them wander home when they want to. And like I said, I chased out the last ones because I got tired of feeding them, and I knew that was our winter hay for, I mean, winter grass for our animals, you know, so I chased them out of there.
Well, I appreciate all the information you've given us. I'm wondering if, because I'm not savvy on what's been happening with Brent, Barbara is, or the ranch and what we need to do. After the meeting, can some of you kind of work with a group of us, Dale, Sal, Barry, and Phil, whoever is knowledgeable about this, and put something together so we can put a letter? Because this is, I think you hit it on the head, wearing out welcome. I mean, if it's not the cattle where they don't belong, extending the length of time from October 31st of January and December, increasing the charges for us, the gravel pit,
put all these ideas together and have a letter go out.
He has, in fact, sold both lots.
And sold the lots on top of that.
He's not a member. But so there's things like this brings up that question. Okay, well, he's been doing supposedly 80, and we've got now around 20. And we do we want to increase our own herd size? And you know, we recouped a fair amount of income just from those four steers. I mean, so if every
we can replace his entire rental or lease fee by having you know, a few more head of our own.
Not a whole lot more, right?
Than he we got from him.
How much?
We made more on our four little animals we took to the auction than we got from all of his 80, 75 head of cows that he had out there.
And we have positive preg tests on 11 animals?
12. And so we've got 12 cows coming this year, but this is the thing, guys. We can do that. However, our sweet shoot is worn out now. We had a real problem with it when we were down there preg checking and stuff. I mean, I had to lay on that thing to get it to hold some of the time. And then the other thing is we don't have corrals to animal those animals. We would have to do a major job on those corrals in order to even start to handle them. And another thing is, you guys,
maybe
we don't
have
the expertise right here. None of you guys probably know how to get a shot. Maybe you do. But Val probably does. But you can give a shot. But I'm saying, do you know how to check? Do you know how to deal with that?
Yeah, but are you going to be held ransom because you need those things done and he's doing all these other things?
But can you get something a bit cheaper?
Well, we found out who owns the bull.
Oh,
the bull's gone.
And the bull's gone from our
That's another story I was going to tell you. This is important. I'll tell you anyway.
Can that guy, can we pay him?
No.
Larry?
My understanding is that one of the reasons that Brent owned lots was because we were allowed to sublet our grazing rights to a member, but not to a non-member.
That's correct.
And so if he's no longer a member, I think we have a problem with the grazing right issue at all, don't we?
Where do some of these rules and thoughts come from?
History.
Yeah, I don't know where that is either.
I don't know any
there's a lot of those things that are poppycock.
But
no basis.
Did he buy the lots that he had?
No.
Well, okay. Given them by Dan Wirt.
For work.
I gave those two lots to Dan Wirt.
And Dan traded them.
Free and clear. And he traded them to Robinson for some work that he was doing up
okay.
there.
So he had an agreement with us for grazing prior to owning lots.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was okay with BLM.
There has to be a brand agreement. There's some other paperwork.
But it's a gray area, but on our
grazing committee, it says we will not sell our grazing rights to somebody else. We will not sublease our grazing rights. It says it right on there, Dale. I read it, and they highlighted it. So what they're saying is we cannot just say, you know, hey,
that's not part of our rules.
Here,
right.
Our grazing rights, we'll do it, you know. And so basically we are supposed to do that. What you're saying is we are not supposed to do that. However, we got away with it in this case because he's a member.
He's a member. So it was really part of our association. Then he's no longer a member.
But they don't have to know that. But if they discover it,
then we got a problem.
Prior to this, I think the leadership of Deer Springs actually deeded him a couple of lots. Have those lots been returned to the... Okay.
So he owns nothing. Nothing in his name.
Well, here's another thought. If he had been a member, as a member, he's entitled to bring two head per unit, right? And so maybe there's four, eight head... whatever number of lots he's had in the past that would be above and beyond the 75 head.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why he deducted them.
That might make sense. 75
You know, that could be what happened.
Yeah, each member would be entitled to do that.
What are we going to do this summer then?
You know, I need to think about that. That might be why he deducted them.
Because if that's truly the case, we shouldn't, in full knowledge of this, continue our agreement with him, should we?
But the more you pressure him, the worse he gets. I mean, if you start questioning, you sure that's how many cows you got out here? And, you know, he just...
Well, the other thing, the ideal thing is to do it 100% within Deer Springs and cancel his lease.
That's very possible.
And make a major change.
There's other cattlemen that would.
So we can't do that to them either. Unless they're members.
No, I'm talking about.
We can be worked out.
If he sold his units, and there is something in the agreement with BLM that says we can only sublet to a member.
Well, it says we can't sublet at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's not just Deer Springs. That's the United States in general.
Yeah.
The problem is, some people will say they're paying, like, you know, $4 for an AUM with their permit, and then they're subleasing it for, like us, $10, you know. But we're not. That's not our case, because we're grazing our own property, too. That's in...
Our $10, the $10 he's paying us is including all that private meadow area. So we can get away with it. However, we're not paying the BLM per AUM. We're not paying them $10. You see what I'm saying? So we're making money on it. BLM says, absolutely not. You cannot do that. That's where the no-no comes in. You know, but we've got a little bit of a leeway just because we're doing so much of our own private ground, and basically his cattle didn't even hardly hit the BLM, you know.
So I suggest we go back to the agenda and work through the financial report and then come back to this issue.
Yeah, because this is what you're bring up.
I think it's an important one that needs to be addressed, but I'd just like to see us get back on plan.
But basically, I think you guys can see from the financial stuff where we are. Was the next thing on there that aging would like us to do that?
You gave a date on this horizontal sheet, but I didn't pick up on it.
On the horizontal one, it's correct.
It's the only one she changed.
Through March 24th.
Through March 24th, the little date that's on.
The
capital improvement one, that was the only one she changed.
Not that one, it looks like.
That one over there.
That's the December 10th.
That's I changed the date on that.
Aren't you talking about this one, Don? This should be 2005, December 2005.
No, it should be 2006, because it's as of March. It's a January through December report, but it's created as of March 24th. So it's actually
March 24th is right here on it.
Oh, it should be through March 24th.
It's a cash flow. That one's right.
Which one did you say changed to 2005 then?
The one that has the capital improvement. That's instead of the capital improvement account. See, if the balance sheet as of March 24th, that should say December 31st. Because we don't have anything.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll clear on that one.
And you did a nice thing there. Remember, can I see the member status?
Yes.
Okay, then the last paper you guys have is this AR 18 summary.
Also horizontal.
Also horizontal with yellow stripes on it. It's been highlighted. Okay, this is what I was asked to do on the aging of our members and where they're at and stuff. Obviously, the current column ignore that because that's what we talked about, the rental and stuff like that. 1 to 30 is the interest that's been added on. 31 to 60 is this year's dues that are not being paid. However, I can almost guarantee you that most of those will be paid in the next month or so. So I don't worry about any of those. What you want to think about is over in the 90 column. And I've highlighted
61
it.
61 to 90?
No, 90. Greater than 90.
Okay. Greater than 90, okay.
Okay, I've highlighted the ones that are 2 years or more. And there are five of them.
Now, you did not highlight Hoyt. Is there a reason for that?
The reason I did not highlight Hoyt, nor did I highlight Billy Carroll, is because those are the ones that were questioned with the membership. Those are those lots that are in question with membership, and we kind of came to the unofficial decision that will not be effective until they sell those lots. And when they sell those lots and they change hands, at that point they would have...
But in fact, the Hoyts did sell and or grant or give or deed their one lot to their son.
Not 157, no.
Okay. Well, I don't know which one for sure.
I just went through the thing yesterday, a week ago, Friday. When was it?
Yeah.
So 157 is the one they have their well and their stuff on, right?
What is your son's name? Mm-hmm. That
Tom.
Do you have a lot left to a son?
Tom,
said?
And he's on here.
He that was one that has the membership already.
Yeah, he has
a
membership.
Mm-hmm.
Tom pays
his dues. And so we're talking about Jay Courage and Ace Halstead, Dan Oliver, Craig and Carol Rolls, and Larry Theobald.
On those Wendy's, did you get my, not get my email, but not a lot of pay, and so did they? I emailed you, and it said that they had already made their payment. So I don't...
Did you deposit it?
No, I was just going to give it to you. That I knew that. I'll go put it in. I've got it, but she...
Did you bring it today, or I just...
It came to Davidson. Oh. Wasn't gonna, I was going home, and I never went near
that. Could you give me the names of the...
No.
That you
yes, said that. Betty Nettles.
Okay.
Sergeant on 24.
Are they paying you cash?
And so, no, Betty Nettles is a trust.
So could you just ask her to follow the procedure and mail it like everybody else
and
have it?
Well, I... Okay.
Sergeant as well.
I believe it.
Sergeant Nettle and who else?
Sergeant Nettle and Jerry Racine.
Which sergeant?
Jerry Racine paid sergeants, right?
Yep.
Well, there's two sergeants here. Which?
It's
Robin. 24, whichever.
Robin. Not, it's Eva and Robin.
Okay, well, those were not in our...
They're not in our...
No, no,
they're not in our...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this Theobald the same Theobald that this Theobald set up for?
What was the question?
Isn't this Larry Theobald the same ones that lost the lot due to foreclosure and then Dale bought the lot at a sale and then after a while gave them back the lot and now they still haven't paid again?
There was four lots involved.
I know, but this is just the same person that's doing the same thing, whether it's two or four or one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Same guy.
Okay, Barbara, could you refresh the board as to how the board followed through with situations of greater than...
Okay, what we do is, like, at this point, there's 2 years or more past due. We placed a lien on their lawn, and we didn't send them a notice that we were going to place the lien, and then they didn't do anything. They gave us so many days, and if they didn't do anything, then they placed the lien, and then we just... In case we sold it and you got paid, that was all it was. And then we proceeded to take it to collection when it reached, I think it was a 36-month point or something like that. And that's when we took it to collections, and Barry worked on them real hard there year before last and got a lot of them collected. And in fact, we've got liens on a couple of these lots already. We do have a lien on Dan Oliver's. Because he was one of them that we're very well working on to collect, and he was instructed to hold off.
So would that mean that the lien just simply needs to be updated for the amount?
That we could do that way, or basically they're going to, it says on there plus interest.
So it automatically?
So it automatically, you know.
Okay, but that one is now, what, 4 years past?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that's one that should be...
We should proceed to collection on that one.
On that one. That one and then the Halstead one. Maybe, but I don't know.
Do we have a lien on the Halsteads?
No.
So Halstead is?
Should be lien. Then, right?
Yep. All of these.
Or should you go to collections on that for the length of time of non-payment?
Well, if we haven't leaned it yet, I think that's...
We haven't leaned it? I thought you said there was, Barbara.
Not
all. Halstead, no?
Are there others with liens besides Oliver?
Do we have a lien on Theobald's?
That's the only one
that's true. Rolls?
No. Rolls is not lien.
It's okay with this information?
Somebody said Halstead should be lien. Mm-hmm. You said that. Are we going to do that? Will that come automatically?
No, that's something that the board has to...
That's the policy that we have followed, and one that I think we should continue to follow, but it's not my decision to make unilaterally.
Just to comment, I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, we had, I mean, there was just, what, 20, 30 lots out there that was way overdue, and I think it's really been cleaned up by just by putting a little bit of cash on. And I think those members probably feel better now that they're current.
Now, I had asked Barbara to put a lien on those individuals that were in excess of the 2 years, and her comment was that she wanted it brought up to the board and the board make a motion to either have it done or not done. My comment was it had been done in the past, precedents had been set, therefore it should be continued. So
we're at a point now where we see the names, the individuals, and the payments they need. So,
I just say that the reason we had, in the past, I'll just give you the past 2 or 3 or 4 years that I've been there, we would have, when they hit this level, we would have Barbara bring it to the attention of the board, and then if a board member knew of an extenuating circumstance or hardship thing, then we would understand, but otherwise, then we would go ahead. So it wasn't totally automatic that she would do it. She would just bring it to our attention, and like today,
yes,
now
right.
We need to say, okay.
Okay.
Let's know it, and let some of us know of a hardship or a problem that is unusual or something we want to be human about.
But we're just talking a lien to be mailed for a notice that this
not
is what we're going to do.
Not
that
a proposal.
No, I'm talking about but a lien will be filed against them.
In,
yes.
In the case they sell, they'll have to clear the lien.
Okay, can I go through this just one more time? All this 1812 charge. Now,
excuse me. For, I don't know what 1812 charge is.
Well, that's what I'm asking. What's
that was the interest on everybody that was their assessments were due, you know, the first of March 1st. And they didn't pay by March 1st. So they charged the interest back to retroactive back to January.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because all of that you specifically told me they were not due until March 31st.
No, nope. I told you they were due March 1st. It says that right on your statement. It's been that way for years.
Okay.
And the answer right on your statement is retroactive back to January if you don't do it, because basically they're billed in December, but you know, we gave them 2 months to pay it.
Okay.
And some of the members take advantage of that and pay it in 3 installments, you know, so they have such a whacking long time.
Okay. I don't know where I got it, but I was thinking January 31st they had to be due, and then...
You did know
January
31st, March 1st.
Well, if we don't file these, then we're not unprotected if they go and sell their lot.
And then we're going to be out, yeah.
So I would make a motion that these that Barbara highlighted that should be sent a notice of lien be done. And I think there is what is the one that's over 2 years that we should be proceeding on foreclosure?
Yeah, Dan Oliver.
There's three of them that are over 2 years.
Yes. Three of them. And then those three that are over that we should hire Barry Clarkson again if he's the one that's familiar with us and that, you know, we should proceed with foreclosure. Yes.
Could you be specific in the
names?
Notice of a lien.
Okay, so we should be leaning, Tesla, which one should we be leaning only at this time?
There's a difference between lien and notice of lien.
Well, I think we should be filing lien. Or, well, I don't know.
We have to send a notice of lien if we file lien.
I think we should follow the process we go with, which will send a notice.
What we're talking about today is notice of lien.
Yeah.
Or,
if
right.
A notice has already been sent,
it
proceed to the none of them.
Dan Oliver.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to notice of lien.
That would be my
motion.
Send notice of lien to, and then if you could name those there.
Courage. Alstead. Rawls.
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 Yes.
And
that's Theobald. Now, are Theobald's over in 2 years?
Oh, yeah.
But they haven't been liened.
It's never been notice of lien.
Okay.
And then the one that we would proceed to collection would be Oliver.
And what about the other two?
Which other two?
Theobald.
But we haven't liened them.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you mean
turn them into notice of lien?
No, but the process we've outlined, as I understood what you said, was that we first send them a notice that we're going to lien if they don't pay by a certain date.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they don't pay, we file the lien. And then if they don't pay, we continue the collection process.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to, I mean, for whatever reason, we haven't followed that process with a couple of these in the past, but I'm not sure we should depart from it. So, I mean, we're giving a little bit more leeway to a couple of these folks.
Also, the thinking on that would be that between now and the end of March, they would all get a letter, a notice of lien, and then what, by the middle of April, actually record a lien against them? What?
How many days do we give them? 30, 60 days?
I give them at least 30 days.
30 days?
At least.
Okay.
Okay.
By the end of April,
we should have an actual lien if they're not.
April 30th or something.
Encourage them to pay and
at least make some arrangements for that. I know in the past a lot of them made arrangements. Okay, I'm behind kind of. You know, pay $50 a month, $100 a month.
Yeah, we could consider that.
So,
your motion.
My motion is to do exactly what Larry just said and brought up those things, to send out a motion of lien.
A notice of lien,
and give them 30 days' notice
to pay.
To pay.
Or make arrangements.
If they don't, then we actually file lien. And then my question, see, beyond that is.
Well, and also add your date. So if you say the letter needs to be out by the end of March, and then they have till the 30th of April to have it in. So we have a date. Would that work?
Yes.
Okay, then the question is, if they don't pay, when do we move to collection?
That's the next question.
Don't include that in this motion or I won't pass.
Okay. I think each one's problem might have a different circumstance.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's just
add that. That's the first motion did include moving to collection.
He coughed when you said that.
As I understood the motion, it included the notice of lien to these four, plus moving Oliver's into the collection phase.
No. I suggest he goes ahead and makes the motion to the notice of lien, and then a 30-day follow-up with the lien, but don't include the collection in this motion, because this motion probably will not pass.
It may.
But you want to amend your motion or change your motion?
Okay, I'll make the second motion after that. But I'll make the first one simple. That is that we do just as we've just outlined.
Okay.
That we send the notice of lien, and that we actually lien if they have not paid or made arrangements by the end of.
Okay, so you're not considering that, and that's those four families. We're not including the Olivers at this point.
Because they're already leaned early.
Right, that's correct.
Have they been leaned lately or a year ago?
No, it was a year ago.
I would say that the same thing. All five of them should have a notice of lien.
And have it by 30 days. Yeah.
And 30 days.
Okay, I will include that.
Okay.
And I would second that.
Is the motion on the floor? It's been seconded. All those in favor?
Can you clarify the dates?
The letter you sent by the end of March.
End of March, the letter. End of April, they have
30 days. They have 30 days or the end of April to either pay or make arrangements.
Did you know what you need to do second?
I just put April 1st. Because I never remember if there's 30 or 31 days. I know there's a first in every month.
Okay. We'll call for
what?
We did motion second. Could I have one more clarification? Who's going to write this letter? Treasurer?
The notice of lien goes out from the secretary.
Okay.
Well, I mean financial secretary.
So, Barbara?
You have to send them a copy. Well, no, we don't. We're sending them just a letter. But when you get the end of April, somebody's got to send you a copy of the lien. You can't just tell them. You have to send them a copy.
Do you have something on your computer? So it would be a matter of changing the name and send it out with a green card in the mail.
Yeah,
that's
how it goes.
Good. Okay.
Okay. Get Candy to sign
it. Return receipt.
Get Candy to sign the letter.
John.
Okay. Motion is on the floor. It has been seconded by Dale. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. I didn't hear it. Oh, it was unanimous. Correct. Okay. Good. Wonderful.
Okay, now I would like to make another motion. Then we have one person in this position or two.
All of it.
Need to be actually foreclosed.
All of it.
Okay.
Yeah, you just voted to start over with him. Yeah.
Let me start over.
Oh, I guess it doesn't mean we don't need the same thing more this time then.
Does anybody know where Dan Oliver is?
That's a good question.
I don't know if you can find him.
I know the county doesn't know.
He still owes me $15,000-$20,000 on his lot.
Yeah, and the county, and he's way past you on his
own. So I'm looking for Dan Oliver and it would solve your problem immediately as soon as I can find Dan Oliver.
agree.
He moved from St. George to Phoenix. He moved back from Phoenix here. And I used to get letters from him, but I haven't had a letter for probably a year.
Have you received mail back from the return address?
So, if anybody knows a friend or relative or any other way, and I may get it through the two automobile dealerships that he's worked for, but I will be aggressive and
hunting him down.
If you find it, will you let me know?
Yeah, trying to find Dan. So I think the motion that's on the floor is adequate for what the action that we need right now.
Okay.
And see what has been accomplished by our next board meeting.
Okay. Shauna, did you do anything with authorized bank signatures?
I did call them and ask them that, and they said that those signatures were still on there. I don't know what we want to do with it.
Which ones are still on?
I think there's Phil's still on, I was on, Barb was on, and Kent and Kennedy's on. Mm-hmm.
I
think Dale was still on.
Right off.
I think Dale was still on. I think he was still on. She told me. I think it was that there was those five that were still on there.
Well, Candy just went in and signed it. You know,
right. Right.
Do you have a wife's name for Dan?
Oh,
is he married? Does he have a wife?
He's not married.
Mm. I just for fun, I just went and looked in the phone book. And
yeah. No, he's not married.
Just had my girls do that and all of a sudden they found the guy.
Yeah. You can find a lot of information on the internet. You do like a people search and believe me, they come up with all kinds of, you'd be surprised what they have on for you.
You can find
that. Punch in your own name and see where you've been.
Exactly, you know, previous addresses and any kind of thing that
you
can probably
search. Could I ask a question about the what the rationale is for whose signatures should be on the bank accounts?
Well, I think we need to know. Well, I think we were, I was just wondering who was able to sign checks.
I know. And we were all wondering. And my question is, we have five names on here. On this account, we have apparently two names on the other account. So I'm wondering what the rationale is for whose name should be on which account.
I really thought that they were changed every time we changed officers. The bank signature card should be changed.
They should have been changed.
I think this year, though, we have a logistics problem, and that's what we need to really consider is... And the reason, part of the reason why Barbara was willing to take the bookkeeping job again is frankly she needed a little bit of, she lives here, sometimes she can find Shauna, and Shauna's been agreeable and she can do things together, but sometimes they just can't match up, and yet they have bills to do.
Well, my name should be off there, I'm no longer an officer.
I thought his had been removed.
You know, I don't see...
When I went in there
when you,
with Barbara...
I think what the thing is that they keep...
Well, I showed you. They only showed me the latest, which was me and you. That's all they showed me. So when Bill signed them, that's what threw the red flag. I'm saying, I thought there was only the last two. So
I had asked Phil to make sure he was on there to sign because of Barbara taking the bookkeeping, and that would facilitate signing of checks in St. George if she needed something done. And you in CNAB with me coming in and assisting her as the president. Do we want to look again as to who is on here and eliminate some of the names? I mean, if...
Well, I think in the case of the other account, we should add some names. Because at this point, the only officer on the other account, as I understand it, is Shauna.
It's going to be capital.
I bet my name is still.
I would bet your name is still.
The two of us.
But Barbara's isn't.
Well, I don't think there ever was, but I think Candace is on there.
You
signed the signature card. I think they
on the capital floor.
I think they put her on there too.
She never was on the capital account. I tried to call and get the answer.
So our question is,
I don't know.
Which column? What do we want?
I'm going to have her give me a list of everything still on there.
But regardless of that, what do we want?
Yeah.
So that which column it time wise.
Yeah.
Joe, you have a question?
I have kind of a question or comment to Phil.
would it be illegal, Phil, for you to have your secretary call all the dentist shops in town and find out if Dan Oliver is a client?
That's a different issue.
Yeah, we're all here. Okay,
it would be the Privacy Act.
It would be.
Okay.
So who would we, as the board, want to have on the accounts for accessibility, but as well accountability to you to know what's going in and out? So the reasons why it was done the way it was for access for checks to be written.
You know what, I need to tell you one thing too that might change your mind on that. It's really handy, maybe Kelly doesn't, I think you find it handy, can't you, that you can get online and see the checks and see exactly what's been going on. And the only way you can do that is if your Social Security number is tied to that account. So say Larry or Phil or Val or Dale wants to see what's going on in the checking account, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to see what's going on in the checking account, but in order for you to do that, you have to have your Social Security number tied to that account. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't have nothing to hide. So I don't care if all of you guys are looking at the checking account knowing exactly what's going on.
Should be.
That, to me, that just gives me a lot more security. Because I feel like, okay, everybody's aware. Nobody surprises. Everybody knows what's going on. So that's my feeling. You know?
So is that the same as signing a signature card then? Or no, we just
no, you have to sign the signature card and you put your Social Security number on there, then your name is tied there. You could sign a check, yes. But everybody can see what happens because it's right there. There's no...
And are they posting images of the checks as well?
I mean, it's not like we have a big... issuer has had a problem.
I know, that's why right now. Everybody knows who's going where.
But we
need to know.
We want to know.
But we need to know. You can't have everybody doing something different. That's true. We just need to know.
And then we don't know what's happening.
My feeling was only in cases where Candy asked me to help Barbara get a check.
That only happened at one time when I went over and you couldn't meet with me and then I was
definitely. Otherwise, I don't have any intention of regularly signing checks.
Okay, I would make a motion to simplify it, that we communicate with the bank on all Deer Springs accounts and make null and void all past signature cards that may... See, my understanding with the banking system is a signature card, once it's in, it's there forever unless you request it to be gone. And if you add a signature, the other ones do not go away. Mm-hmm. You're just adding signatures.
Okay.
And so, I don't know. There may be a card in the file that has Larry Bear on there. There may be
an old one.
And legally, it would be a scary thing because if anything were to happen, somebody got sued. Every one of those people would be dragged right in there.
Yeah.
Because
I would say we need to communicate with them and start current. Make sure all past signature cards, past officers, whatever, are erased. Start over and go ahead and put the current board.
Put all the current
all names and all so that they can be seen, and then it would be a matter of still, I think the primary responsibility of check signing would fall to the secretary, treasurer, president, and then in
the bookkeeping.
Okay, and you guys are aware that a lot of the checks now we're doing the online payment thing.
Electronic
payment thing. So it doesn't require a signature. However, that's why she needs to be on there, though, so she can see exactly what did go through.
And all of those that are authorized electronically would be tied to a Social Security number or whoever made the transaction.
Yeah, it's all tied to my phone.
That way all of you could be on there.
But you all could see it. You could see exactly
who did it.
Could you simplify that, Larry, your motion?
Well, I suggest that you do not include board members that are not officers.
I think maybe put it this way, those that want to be on there.
Yeah.
To be able to view the check. I mean, like you, Ralph, you didn't want to be, you know, be on there, that should be your property.
Well, if
Larry, not being an officer, he wants to be able to view the checks, then he should have that property to be able to get on the internet and to view the, you know, the ranch checks.
It'd be my suggestion that we include on signature cards the current officers plus Barbara.
That would preclude me ever being able to help her out if she can't get a hold of Shauna being here in St. George.
You could be an exception.
Okay. You're a... So I'm making assistant.
You're an exceptional guy.
All right.
So your motion is wipe out the old...
Wipe out all old signature cards.
And who
start new.
I'm open to the idea that
just leave the board members on it.
The officers as Barbara.
Sorry.
With Barbara.
I have
to. Are you assigned?
I have to be on there in order to use this
just
card.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can, so that makes me able to sign checks, but I don't like to do that. Mm-hmm. I've done a few because I fact you don't order to go.
Well, and she card checks
do not require two signatures, do they?
No.
The one.
And see, that's another issue, too, because if she had been signed the check, she called me before and said, should I sign the check? And
yeah.
She signed the check.
I have been
and I said, sign
the
check.
If you're able to sign checks, then
I didn't know that
she doesn't like that.
I just don't like to do it that way. I just like it where it's you want.
Or you do it yourself, but her.
I understand.
Should we make it so there's two signatures required?
Well, it's just a hassle.
No, that makes it more of a hassle.
Well,
okay, if I'm understanding right, okay, what if we do this? We're trying to add Phil just to take the burden off of you. In case there's a signature needed down here in St. George.
But she could do it herself.
Okay.
You could do it yourself, and you'd feel more comfortable even with a phone call or a note.
She could get an okay from Candace, and she could put poor Candace.
I do that.
Or she could put poor Shauna, yeah.
But you can't get a hold of Shauna or Candy then.
I'm not opposed to having Phil on there.
Well, Dale, that way me or Dale could look up the account to see if we wanted to see what was being spent, you know.
I would not be on. No, if I was a board member, even though I'm not signing a check, I'd like to be able to, you know, I would think I want to be in that position where I could give you the match finances because you are responsible for the board.
Can you help you?
Online.
I don't feel a need to. I mean, I'm not going to be around to sign your checks. I don't think looking at the check register gives you an idea of what's really going on with finance.
I myself think that it does not tell you.
All it tells you is
you have to really
dig
deep on that.
If you can sign it, and that's the case, I don't need to be on it either.
Have a new signature card with three women. Three women.
You're in trouble now.
We trust you implicitly.
Okay, so
the current officers and Barbara was the motion. Is that the motion?
You're probably going to have to tell the bank this is good until, and then give us a month, or you guys a month to get over there and sign it or something.
Now, if we put the current officers, that puts two men on.
We have to resign a new one if you want to.
And currently you're not on, and I'm not on, and I don't know the...
So I'm on there, Sean's on there, Kenny's on there, just go in there and tell them to take off two names and we're fine.
Just tell them to claim it up, not tell them.
Well, the other candidates will have your name added.
Oh.
And if Dale's on it, it needs to come off and put Candy on.
And if Larry Bear is on it, he needs to come off.
That's for sure.
I don't believe I saw his name.
No, Larry's not because
I didn't see it either, but that's when I asked. I didn't see Phil either, so that's what happened.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Three women will sign, everything else off.
Yeah.
Next item. There was a motion.
The motion was the current officer. So you're amending the motion, they're changing the motion, so it's the president, the treasurer, and Barbara?
Yes, that's right. If any other officer or board member feels a need to be on there, they can request it and we'll discuss it later.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. You're going to hate me, but I have to leave her.
We don't have a dinner, so let's do what it will got to do fast.